It's great to be together again on Friday, and at the start today, let me summarize where we have been as we end the week together. John the Baptist testifies of Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I've broken this testimony into three parts. Part 1 is sin of the world, part 2 is Lamb of God, and part 3 is takes away. And as we went deep in part 1, I asked and answered a series of questions. The first question was, what is the origin of sin? The second question was, since Satan brought sin into the world, does that mean God will not hold Adam and Eve accountable for their own sin? The third question was, why do we today get cursed for Adam and Eve's sin? And that led us to the fourth question. Adam and Eve only ate a piece of fruit. What's the big deal? And then finally, this week, we've dealt with a fifth question that most often reads as an accusation against God. It goes like this. Forget about Satan being responsible and accountable for sin, and man and woman being responsible and accountable for sin. Isn't God really the one who should take responsibility and even be held accountable for sin? After all, didn't God create the possibility of sin, and God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden in the first place? I answer this last question and accusation in two ways. First, God is not the origin of sin. Satan is. God is never the source of sin. Sin is not from God. In fact, God hates sin. Second, while sin is not from God, God still rules over sin and can use it for his purposes. God commands everything and everyone in his universe, including sin. Nothing escapes the purview of Almighty God, and even what Satan intends for evil, God can use for good. Oh, how frustrated the devil must be. To quote the hymn, God is the ruler yet. And here I also want to quote the Dutch theologian Herman Bavinck again. I'll mention him in a moment as well. On what we discussed the last 2 days, he writes, quote, "Against sin's intent, not with its consent and cooperation, by the wisdom and omnipotence of God, sin is forced to serve the honor of God." Unquote. How awesome is that? Even sin serves at the honor of God. Satan's intent for sin is ruined by the Lord God. We must always remember and never forget the potent power of God to rule over sin. We're going to see this repeatedly and coming up when we uncover the meaning of Jesus as the Lamb of God. Against sin's intent, not with its consent and cooperation, by the wisdom and omnipotence of God, sin is forced to serve the honor of God. Herman Bavinck. I've got that posted to God Is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check it out. God Is, W-E-Z-E. God Is, W-E-Z-E. Now, you might say, well, I missed all of that. Or, I don't agree with everything you've said, even in this summary. Even, I'd like to hear that again. As they would say in Australia, no worries. Just download the God Is podcast from the W-E-Z-E website, 590amtheword.com. Download it all and listen for free. 590amtheword.com and click podcasts. God Is will be there. Today, I'm closing off our discussion on John the Baptist's testimony, Sin of the World. But I just want to add something that's very important. The Bible makes it clear that God definitely created a world in which the possibility for sin exists. Continuing with Bavinck, quote, "Sin is not an accident or tragedy that surprises and distresses God," unquote. But saying that does not mean that God brought sin into the world. He did not. I've said that repeatedly. Satan did, and God holds him accountable for such. And now we sin, and God holds us accountable for our own sin. Not anyone else's sin, but our own sin. I am only responsible for my sin. Now, by creating us the way that God did, and with the ability and freedom to make choices that he gave us to either say no to sin or to say yes to sin, it's true that God took a risk. He would rather have women and men that are free to choose than to have robots pre-programmed with no choice in the matter called life. And therefore, with choice, Adam and Eve encountered sin. They came face to face with evil and chose evil over good. And yet, despite this disastrous choice and the awful consequences that follow, God remains in charge. Here's how Augustine put it, quote, "God deemed it better to bring good out of evil than not to permit any evil to exist at all," unquote. That's Augustine. And one more time today for Herman Bavinck. Listen to this, quote, "Precisely because God is the absolutely holy and almighty one, he can do what we cannot. Use sin as a means in his hand. God would never have tolerated sin if he had not been able to govern it in an absolutely holy and sovereign manner. Being God, he did not fear its existence and power. If he had not allowed it to exist, it might be said that he was not, in all his attributes, superior to a power whose possibility was inherent in creation itself. But God, because he is God, never feared the way of freedom, the reality of sin, the eruption of wickedness, or the power of Satan, because he knew he was absolutely able to control sin." Unquote. I'm amazed at how even a robust discussion on sin, such that we've had together, demonstrates how great and mighty God is. There's a mystery to all of this, isn't there? And while I have done my best to describe for you the doctrine or the teaching of sin, there is a lot I do not understand. And I'm okay with that because I trust God's wisdom and knowledge. He has done what he has done, and I trust him with the results. This is why I personally constantly return to the Apostle Paul's words in his letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and unfathomable his ways." Romans 11:33. To that, all I can say is a hearty amen. Recently, I was having an intense conversation with someone who I consider to be a friend over this matter of sin. And during the course of the discussion, it was suggested to me that people don't want to hear about sin, that it's too negative. People do not want to hear it. They want to hear positive messages. And I get it. Sinners do not like to talk about sin unless it means inventing ways to do more of it. I agree, sin is a negative. It's a huge negative. But it is far worse than that. Sin is what keeps people separated from God. And therefore, sin has to be discussed by believers. Pastors and churches need to teach on it. Bible teachers on radio, TV, the internet need to speak on it. Sunday school teachers and Christian teachers in schools need to discuss sin in their classrooms and with their students. Christian parents better be talking about sin and its dreadful consequences with their sons and daughters, and grandparents with grandchildren. So here on God Is, I have attempted to talk about that which is very popular to do, to practice, but not popular to talk about not doing, not popular to talk about how to stop, and that is sin. I pray that I have been clear and have not created any confusion on how God treats sin. But as always, I invite you to test what I have said. Read the Bible for yourself and see if the texts I've read from and explained say what I say they say. Write to me with questions and ask for clarification. Feel free to disagree with me. I welcome disagreement. I'm also a willing recipient of encouragement. If God has used me to build up your biblical understanding of where sin comes from and what sin is, then write to me and say so. You know, pastors always need encouragement. Please do give a kind word to your own pastor in your church. And that brings me to the church. Do you go to church? As Sunday approaches, I know many of you do, others of you from time to time, and still others of you are not physically able to go. You miss it. Now, we miss having you, and I pray for each and every one of you who would like to go to the church but cannot. I pray God will meet with you in your home or nursing home, hospital, in prison, on your mission field, in a hotel somewhere, wherever you are. I just want to encourage you, as I often do on Fridays, to be in a church where the biblical view of sin is taught. Worship God in the house of the Lord, where your pastor and lay spiritual leaders stand up and courageously teach sin from the Bible, even though sin is not a popular topic. It's an essential doctrine to know. It is a core element of the gospel. And what is the gospel? In summary, it's this. The gospel is good news. God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live and be crucified dead, to pay the penalty of death for our sin. And then Jesus rose from the dead alive and ascended to heaven, where he now prays for people who put our faith in him. If you will believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, then God will forgive you. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved from your rebellion. God will have mercy and compassion on you. That's the gospel. Do you believe in Jesus? I urge you to do so right now. And I want to invite you, if you want to walk with Jesus, to write me. My email is mark@markaswallow.com, mark@markaswallow.com. Write to me now. Write to me right away. If not today, then when? And please, listen again to this broadcast and the series, if you'd like, from the WEZE website. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. Get some rest for those of you leaving work. And then join me again on Monday, for God is...